Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I tell you what, as the quarterback for the show, I sometimes come to the line, recognize a defense, and decide I'm going to call an audible. And that's exactly what I'm going to do right now, because breaking news today is that the United Auto Workers Union has lost its vote in Alabama at the Mercedes plant over in Vance near Tuscaloosa. Y'all, this is not a small thing. Not at all. This is huge. Well, listen, I've got news stories already coming out about it. I have just tweeted about it on my social media if you want to follow that, at Sin Phil Williams. But I've also got a friend who is neck deep in unionization efforts nationwide. He's keenly aware. He's a national level consultant for companies that are looking at the possibility of unionization. What does it mean to them, and how can they help and work with their employees and possibly avoid unionization? He's been on the show before, and I'm calling him in right now. Mike Perkins, how are you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm doing great, Phil. Great to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate you making time. This was a true audible. I mean, I'm seeing the news story. You texted me, several other people texted me, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to see what Mike's doing. So last time I saw you, you were in your boat floating by the house, and now you're on the radio with me.
Well, I was floating down the interstate in Mobile when I saw your text, pulled over and saw it, and had been following the news about the election in Vance, and glad to have the opportunity to talk to you about it and to your listeners.
Well, talk to us about this first of all. This was a secret vote. I mean, it's had a lot of you know, the company Mercedes has been working its end. The UAW has been working its end. How do we get to where we are today? Are you comfortable with the processes that we had?
Yeah, so let me just give you a little history. The UAW has been working to organize workers at Mercedes for years, and they were never able to get enough momentum to take it to an election. And then with all of the current unionization activity that's going around the country, they became energized, and certainly the social environment in the country right now has been a little much more favorable toward unions. And so the UAW, after their big, you know, after their big strike up at the big three automakers, decided they were going to come after, they were going to come aggressively after Southern automakers.
Oh, wow.
And so they went after Volkswagen in Chattanooga and won that election by a 3-1 margin.
Wow.
And that set fear throughout the Southeast for auto manufacturers, suppliers, state governments, and everyone else that has any, you know, in industry and business that didn't want their facilities to be unionized. So the UAW decided they've devoted several million dollars to organizing the automakers in the Southeast. So their first big target was Mercedes, because they had been working it for years. And not too long ago, they announced that they had 70% of the employees there had signed cards indicating they wanted to be in the union. And so that resulted in this election that has been lasted all week this week, ended this morning. The vote count came out this afternoon, and the union lost the election by about a 600 vote margin, looking at the numbers that I'm looking at. So Mercedes was successful in fending off the union by about 56% of the vote.
Yeah.
Not a huge margin, but it's a big victory, because, you know, there was a lot of bragging that the plant would be unionized, and Mercedes was successful in fending that off.
Hey, so how did the vote actually work? Because I heard stories about tents in the parking lot and all that kind of. What's the deal? It's a secret ballot, though, right?
Yes, it is. And so here's what happens typically in a union drive, organizing drive. The union has to get a certain number of cards to even be assigned a recognition card to even get to an election. And so in this case, you know, the minimum they have to get signed is 30% of the employees. Well, unions don't want that. They want to get 70-80%, because they know they've got to go through a secret ballot election. So in this case, they said they had 70%, and then they filed a petition for an election. There's a period of education by both sides, kind of like a political campaign, both sides, you know, telling their story. And then the ultimate decision is decided by secret ballot election. The interesting thing that happens is that a lot of people that sign those cards will later on say, well, wait a minute, I didn't fully understand what I was doing when I signed the card, what I was getting into, what I was supporting. And once they become more educated, either through self-education or company education or whatever, they may change their mind. And that's the beauty of the secret ballot election. And so they can vote without peer pressure, without anybody else, and they decide what they want to do is best for them and the way that they perceive it. So that's what happened. And I'm not sure where they set up all the ballots. The NLRB, National Labor Relations Board, conducts the election. They set up polling stations. It's all secret ballot. And so the people vote, and at the end of the election, they count the votes, and that's what happened today. It took several hours to count the votes. There were over 4,600 votes or so. So a lot of counting, but like I said, the union lost by 44%.
Yeah, I think it was actually 4,604 and 4,000 against. So it was almost like there was 8,600 ballots to count.
You know what? Yeah, well, that sounds like a high, because I thought there were about 6,000 votes. But I'm looking at a news report that may have been totally wrong in the numbers. But it may have been an early report, so I'm not sure exactly what those numbers were.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. What's next? I mean, are we done, or is the union going to challenge it? What do you expect?
It's not over. The first part of the battle is over, but there's much more to come. Just a few weeks ago, or even a few days ago, the union has filed charges against Mercedes, claiming that they were coercing employees and pressuring employees, and that's a standard move in a big, highly contested union election like this, for the union to start filing charges and claiming that it wasn't fair to them. And so what happens now is the National Labor Relations Board will look at those charges, unfair labor practice charges filed by the union, and they have a number of options. One, in the past, which is what they did at Amazon in Birmingham, they can force another election. But even more radical, which is a new remedy, well, it's not really a new remedy, but an easier remedy to get to than in the past, the National Labor Relations Board has the right to come in and say, look, we think that this election was so unfair and that the company was so bad and broke so many rules that we're just going to force the union in without another election. And we're going to overturn the election results. And that all came from a case that passed that the NLRB decided last fall, called the CMEX case.
Wow.
And it made some radical changes in the way that unions organize and the way that companies respond. But it's a standard practice now for a union to file a lot of objections and hope, if they lose the election, that maybe they can get the NLRB, which is very pro-union, very political body, hope that they can get them to force their way into a business.
What's the purpose of having a vote if the NLRB can just say, never mind, we're going to do it anyway? That's just amazing to me.
Well, their argument is that, this was so unfair, and so the circumstances were so coercive, and the company acted so improperly that there's no way you could have had a fair election. Therefore, we're just going to mandate that the company recognize the union and begin bargaining with the union, and not even going to give another election because they've tainted the process. And it was a pretty significant development in labor relations and labor law that came out last fall. And I just read a case recently where the NLRB overturned a vote against the union, forced the union into a place, which the facts of that were, pretty egregious. And here, I don't know what all the facts that the union's claiming, but they're not unusual facts from what I saw in the general summary.
Well, I couldn't help but notice, too, that the union may have prevailed in the Chattanooga plant for Volkswagen most recently, but they also suffered a bit of at the very least, a setback on the optics, because they got decertified by a group, a small Nissan plant up in New Jersey, that decided after only 4 years they were tired of it.
Yeah, that happened recently, and that's not an unusual thing, Phil. I mean, a lot of times people will vote in a union, and the union has made a lot of promises. We're going to do this for you and that for you, and everything's going to be great now. And what they find out in a lot of cases is that, maybe it wasn't so great as they promised, and sometimes they're just absolutely, totally incapable of making any changes, and maybe they're even negative changes. And so the employees have the right to go through another campaign, and it has to be totally employee generated and initiated. to what's called decertify a union, and they go through basically a reverse election to kick them out. But in that case, even after a union comes in, the employees have to wait at least a year. And if a contract's in place, they have to wait up to 3 years before they can even try to decertify a union. But yeah, that was a black eye. Unions hate to be decertified. It's bad publicity. It looks bad for them. And so that certainly, I don't know if some of the employees at Mercedes were looking at that. Probably so. And, you know, UAW's had their fair share of issues over in the past.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have a new president now who's very aggressive. But in the past, there were all kind of corruption issues and things that were happening up in the Northeast and up in the Rust Belt, where the UAW has, you know, was in a lot of trouble. And so the Chattanooga thing was a big star for them, and it really energized them, and they're not going to stop. So that was the other part of, there are going to be legal appeals to all of this. And then, you know, the UAW is not going to stop, but they're active at Hyundai, as I understand, down in Montgomery. You know, they've targeted other plants throughout the Southeast, as I understand, Nissan and Mississippi and some others. And, you know, they're not going to give up. This election, you know, wasn't that close. It wasn't that big of a runaway that they're just going to fold up their tent and move back to the Northeast. They're going to continue to be aggressive in trying to organize plants and suppliers, not just automotive plants, but, you know, second and third tier suppliers throughout the Southeast.
So bottom line is, it was a good day, but it's a pragmatic win, is what you're telling me.
Well, winning the election is probably the most important part of that process.
True.
If you lose the election, as a company, then, you know, with this NLRB being very, very pro-union, the chances of your, you know, overturning a union win are very slim. But unions have they have a lot of friends up there in government right now that are very, very willing to help them, and that have passed a lot of favorable rules and regulations and laws, and you know, there are a lot of avenues left. In addition to that, there's a lot of public sentiment, particularly among younger people, that are very pro-union. A lot of them don't understand exactly what it all means, but they're very pro-union in their thinking. So it's a very active time for labor unions throughout the country, and everybody in the U.S. was watching this election. I promise you, the eyes of the country were on this. In fact, the UAW has even filed international charges against Mercedes, claiming that their actions in Alabama opposing the union violated international law and international treaties and international labor standards. And so, this is a big battle.
Now, never mind the fact that the German union in Mercedes plants was actually trying to dabble into communications issues here in the United States. They can reach in all they want to, but they're going to try and say that Mercedes somehow was internationally incorrect in the way they handled the union effort.
That's the arguments they're making. But in Europe and particularly in Germany, unions and companies, the relationships are different. There's a little more cooperative partnership. It's less us against them. But, there's an international watch on all of this, and certainly the whole country was watching. Every business in the country has been watching this very closely. Well, certainly auto manufacturers and suppliers.
Well, brother, I am out of time, but I certainly appreciate you making some quick effort to get on the air with us, because even though there's more to come, it was still a good day.
Hey, man, great day, and always great to talk to you, thanks for having me.
Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
That's Mike Perkins, national consultant working on union issues with plants all over the nation, really all over the world. He knows his business. Listen, I just got word, too, by the way, that we're going to have former State Senator Clay Schofield, who is now a VP with the Business Council of Alabama, on here in a few minutes. So we'll talk to him as well. In the meantime, Big Rig, better take me to a break, brother, before I burn our time. And we'll come right back and move towards the go-home time on a Friday afternoon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. I got to tell you guys, by the way, Southern Immediate Care is one of the sponsors of our show. Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers a whole lot of ground across North Alabama. I mean, places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, 6 more locations around the Birmingham region. And they are epic good at what they do. And I don't say that lightly. I know, because I use them personally. I do. I have gone to Southern Immediate Care for years. I don't use them because they advertise on the show. I'm glad to have them advertised, because I've been using them, and I just know how clean, professional, friendly, you know, everything they do seems to be spot on for what you need. And they're open 7 days a week at every location, and they will see all ages of patients. I'm talking about, you know, geriatric down to pediatric. Listen, Southern Immediate Care, you need medical attention even on a Saturday morning. You look up the location nearest to you and head on down there. And by the way, when you fill out the forms, tell them you heard about all this on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that very much. Big Rig and I were talking, what do we call this section? It's not one of our dippers. You know what? I did one before. Big Rig, I tell you what, when you put this in the podcast, just call this whole section we're doing Union Blues. That's what we're going to call it.
Okay.
The Union is singing the blues right now. By the way, I just got word a minute ago that we're going to come back here after this very short segment, because I ran long with Mike Perkins on purpose. We're going to come back from this segment, and a former state senator, Clay Schofield, who is now a vice president at the Business Council of Alabama, has been working this issue hard on behalf of the Business Council. Anyway, he's going to call in and have a moment, maybe take a victory lap, or just tell us what he thinks is coming next and what their efforts have been like to try and help stymie the growth of the union in Alabama. Bottom line is, it's a good day. Brandon from Athens tells me the theme. Check out Brandon's message there, bud, and check out that and make sure we're good. Brandon, you can tell us what station you're on too, just so we'll know. John from Lexington says, I think we ought to unionize your fans. Our rallying cry will be high grades for all. John from Lexington, South Carolina. And then Ryland from Etowah County says, Phil, had a great day today, mainly because of this post right here on Facebook. And I don't know that I can get to Facebook, but thank you, Ryland. I appreciate it, man. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gaston, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And I tell you who doesn't cover a lot of ground, does not cover a lot of ground in Alabama, is the United Auto Workers. And I'm digging it. Now we got more to go, but tell you what, let me bring somebody on. So former state senator Clay Schofield and I served together in the Alabama State Senate. He hails from the Gunnersville area. He served a number of years, I think three terms at least, in the Alabama Senate, maybe three and a half. He is now an executive vice president with the Business Council of Alabama, and they've been working hard on what they call their Alabama Strong campaign against the UAW. Clay Schofield, how you doing, my brother?
I am doing great, my friend.
You're having a good day now, aren't you?
I'm having a great day. Great day. And it's a great day for the state of Alabama and for our workers, our terrific, unbelievable workers in the state of Alabama. We couldn't be more thrilled by this outcome.
Well, I know you guys at the BCA have been very engaged in the topic. Your membership's been very engaged because it directly impacts not just the state, but it impacts the ability to even have a good bottom line for these companies that are sustaining our current economy.
Well, that's right, and you know it's a situation that you see over and over again in Detroit. With those auto workers up there in these unionized plants, you know, they you know, try to negotiate these, you know, just outlandish, you know, settlement pay scales, and the companies wind up not being able to afford it. And guess what happens? You wind up trading wages for jobs, and those companies will not invest in that area anymore. They begin to look at other states like Alabama, who reject the UAW, or oftentimes they leave the country.
Yeah.
And that, you know, so we're very proud that Alabama's workers, and you know, the Mercedes-Benz workers in Vance saw through the UAW's empty promises And frankly, you know, there was some just misinformation that they put out there, and our workers sought through that, and way to go for them.
Yeah, and I completely agree that with the it would put jobs at risk, it would put our economy at risk, and Alabama has been named in recent months, actually, has been named the number one state in the nation for auto manufacturing. Am I right?
That's right. And that's why they're coming here. They have seen declining membership across the country. And so they want to come to the number one state. I mean, we have 50,000 jobs, automotive jobs, in the state of Alabama. And, you know, it's like someone told me, I thought this was pretty clever. They said, well, you know, bank robbers rob banks because that's where they know the money is. And so they're coming after these dues. That's what they want. They want that money. And, you know, and when you look at what they spend their money on, I mean, it's they're you know, the bosses live high on the hog, let me tell you. And I bet you, I bet the UAW is going to have a long private plane ride back to Detroit after today from Tuscaloosa.
Well, we just had Mike Perkins on. I know you know Mike. He's a friend of mine who also, I think, has been in some way engaged with the Alabama Strong campaign. And he's also does this on a national scale. He's all over the place working these same types of issues. And he did say that he feels like it's fairly certain that the UAW will try to challenge it, because that's their modus operandi, is they try to challenge everything. They'll try to paint the corporation as having done an unfair job of allowing the vote to take place, or, you know, violating National Labor Relations Board's policies and regulations. What do you see coming next, and what do you see in other plants? What's going on there?
Well, it's hard to tell. You know, we obviously are, you know, ready. We have been, you know, working with the locals in Montgomery, the local Montgomery Chamber of Commerce, to prepare them for, you know, a potential fight at Hyundai. And then obviously we are keeping close eyes on the, you know, any activity at Honda and Lincoln, and then Mazda, Toyota in Huntsville. And so, you know, we're gonna keep being vigilant, and we're gonna celebrate right now. But, you know, come Monday, we're right back at work to make sure that, you know, Alabama's workers understand what's at risk, get the truth to them, and hope that that momentum continues in our favor and in the workers' favor.
Well, all said and done, great job, man. I know you've been neck deep. In fact, I texted you and you said you're about to sit down and eat for the first time today. So that tells me you've been wide open. But appreciate your efforts on this, the BCA's efforts on this, and the Alabama Strong campaign overall. And we'll take the next step when it comes, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate it.
All right. Clay Schofield, Executive VP at the BCA, former state senator. You have a great weekend, buddy.
You too, Phil. See you, bud.
See you, man. Bye. That's so, listen, this is this. I can't tell you how big this is. So you may recall, in the 1990s, and there are people who get frustrated with this. I get it. Economic development is a crapshoot sometimes. But back in the 90s, there was an opportunity to land an auto plant. Now, keep in mind, Alabama has been an industrial base. I mean, the steel industry here especially, my granddaddy was a steel worker, and the steel industry here was a mainstay. We were the Pittsburgh of the South. I just have these great memories of the plants in full operation, and, you know, granddaddy coming home with his hard hat, and just, you know, it was just a thing. And I remember my dad saying that when he was growing up, that no smoke over West Birmingham meant hard times, because that the plants were what kept everything alive. And the plants went away, and they went away largely because of the unions. And then I'm sitting right now, Big Rig and I are sitting right now in the studio in Gadsden. And we lost the Goodyear plant. We lost the Gulf State Steel plant. Those two industries alone used to be the driving force of Northeast Alabama, not just Gadsden, but all of Northeast Alabama. Goodyear, I did a study when I was in the state senate to check and see. Goodyear pulled in something like 40% of its employees, or something like 30%, maybe it's 30% of their employees, came from outside the county. Well, y'all, they had thousands of employees. At one time, Goodyear and Gulf State Steel employed over 5,000 employees total in the community. That's incredible. That means there's nobody who's not touched by it. And when they went away, largely because of union influence, and it took a little longer for Goodyear, we just lost them a few years ago. Gulf State Steel disappeared about 20 years ago. They left a hole in the economy. But we can't afford to do that. Well, in the 1990s, we had an opportunity. In the 1990s, there was this great idea. Mercedes was talking about Alabama. Mercedes wants to come here? Well, what do we do with this? And so they incentivized it. Now, there are those who are opposed to any types of incentives. I don't fall into that category. I believe you have to be wise. I believe you have to be judicious. I believe you cannot do what some folks call any economic development corporate welfare, and it's not. When I got into the state Senate, along with Clay Schofield and a number of others, we changed economic development in Alabama. I was the chairman of the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development. We passed legislation that allowed for what they call clawbacks. Clawbacks is when, if you are provided any incentives at all and you don't meet your milestones, we claw those incentives back. In other words, you have to repay the state. We have contracts with the corporations. You will meet certain milestones. Here's how many you will hire. Here's how many you. In other words, we mandate job growth. We mandate investment. We mandate that you bring something to the table. We're not going to build it for you. And we do all these things. And then we talk about some of these are going to be incentives in kind. What does that mean? We have some amazing assets here in the state. I mean, it's world class. We have ATN, the Alabama Technology Network. And we have AIDT, the Alabama Industrial Development Training Center. Those two entities alone can say, are you bringing people in? You want to build what kind of plant? Okay, we will agree to scale up and build a classroom setting to train those future employees for you if you're willing to come here. And we'll train them on everything from, you know, robotic auto manufacturing to AutoCAD to whatever the latest technology, real-time logistics. We'll do all of that stuff with you. We'll train your employees. You will have a workforce if you come to Alabama. And so these things are economic development. Well, it worked. We got Mercedes. And brother, it opened the door. We are now considered, at one point we were called the Detroit of the South. Now Detroit wishes they were the South. Look back, we got Mercedes here. How many jobs is that? Thousands. Today, 4,600 people voted on the unionization, and that's not even the full employee base. That's 4,600 jobs right there. But every time you see one job like that, that one job translates into multiple other jobs. Because if that person has a job at that plant, that person's going to eat in a restaurant with their paycheck. That person's going to buy groceries at that grocery store. And oh, by the way, that plant where that one person works is going to have tier two and three manufacturers that are going to supply everything from windows and doors and you know, rubber gaskets and whatever else that are going to build up. We have tier two and three plants all around us right now that are supplying those automotive plants. So when one person gets hired down there, it creates one, two, and three, and four other jobs in other places. You unionize that one plant in Mercedes, and it begins to lose jobs and shut down productivity, it trickles down throughout the entire state. But if you grow it, it has just the opposite effect. Because if you grow one, it's like kudzu, man. It's just like a kudzu vine. It just grows. And so what I'm saying is Mercedes was the bellwether for Alabama. Mercedes came here in the 90s. And next thing you know, we got Honda in Lincoln, and we got Hyundai in Montgomery, and we got Toyota Mazda up in the Huntsville area. We've got tier two and three manufacturers all over the state that supply them. We've got improved road spaces because of it, because we agreed to do certain things to make sure they had good transit capability. We got rail lines that are more active now. We got the port of Mobile that has been upgraded because why not? Because we're shipping cars to and fro. We have become a manufacturing mecca, and we did it without the union. And just in the last 4 or 5 months, We were named, Alabama was named, literally named by an outside entity as the number one state in the nation for auto manufacturers. That is not something that we take lightly. And we don't want to lose that, because that's our calling card. Because when the governor and the lieutenant governor and the secretary of commerce, when they go to a international convention and they meet other auto manufacturers, all they got to do is say, well, we represent Alabama. Oh, Alabama, you're the state that just voted down the Mercedes UAW effort. Yes, we are. And you're the state that all these auto manufacturers want to go to because you're a right to work state and you got a base of employees. And I'm just, listen, it is truly a calling card. And what happened today? Whew. Too close, in my opinion, but I'm glad it happened. More to come on it. We're going to take a break right now. Last break of the day. We'll come right back and we'll send you guys packing for the weekend, baby. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground and making common sense like a superpower. That's what I'm saying. Got a couple of texts, then I'll go to the phones real quick for one last call. Steve from Coleman says, how many voted against the union? I was away from my radio if you told it. Yeah, what I saw, I think it's the unofficial count, but it's unofficially official. It was like 2,645 against. And in 2,042, four. So it was like 600 more votes were against the idea of the union. So it was about a percentage-wise, it was like a 55-44, 56-44 breakdown, something like that. Thanks, Steve from Coleman. Glenn from Bluntsville says, what he's trying to say, but it's a word missing here. They voted for the union. Those folks that voted for the union paid attention to what Biden did to the union workers who were working on the pipeline. They all lost their jobs when he shut it down. That's exactly right. I mean, it's just whether it meets the agenda or not is what matters, man, right? Lastly, I will say this before I go to the phones. John from Huntsville says, Big Rig gets an A+ for his awesome performance. Today's winner is obviously Phil, he says, with a special ultra superior A++. And I'll tell you why, Phil, because you finally convinced me that a triple dipper does not matter when you go with your heart and say to the heck with the plan, because Phil, today you showed you really are a true creative genius. Wow.
That's awesome.
I'm going to take a photo shot of that one and just keep it. Thank you, John from Huntsville. Appreciate you, brother. Have a good weekend. Let me run to the phones real quick. I got a few minutes left and we just got a call from Joe from Athens. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I want to tell you, I was a union steward.
All right.
And things went wrong. I got set up, got fired. And the union said, oh, I'm sorry, Joe, we don't have any money to support you and take you to court. So the union just said, see you, buddy, you're gone after 10 years of being in the union.
Wow.
I would never do that again, ever.
Wow. Can I ask you what trade you were in? Was it a manufacturing, or was it one of the trades unions, or what?
AFL-CIO.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
it was with General Electric.
Well, that's a sorry way to have to learn that lesson, but I hate it for you, man. Did you bounce back from it okay?
I went back to a high-end company, and I worked with them for another 10 years, and they just loved it.
Well,
and I did, too.
Well, there's a victory story in that one. So, I hate the way it worked out there, but maybe moving on wound up being the best thing, right?
Yep. I mean, twice the money I was making before, and they were happy to get me back because I already was trained. They didn't have to worry about training me.
Oh, that's good stuff. All right. Hey, Joe, thanks for the call, man. You have a great weekend.
Hey, you have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. You too. Wow. That's something. And, you know, I hate to hear it, but yeah.
You've been winning a lot more lately from John.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I think you've been winning a lot more lately.
Maybe I earned it. I do not take it for granted, though. I do not. If I have found favor on the grades, let it be because I have just chosen to do all I can. So thank you, John from Huntsville. We appreciate it. By the way, that's part of the fabric of the show, right? I spoke last night. Shout out again to the folks at AmVets Post 21 in the Athens area. But they asked me last night. One of the things they asked me is, hey, have you ever met Jeff from Indiana personally? And I said, no, we're just like buds, and y'all, it just calls a show. But I told him, I said, I'm going to do a thing one day. We're going to call the roll. We're going to make sure that everybody's there. And I'm going to say, all right, Jeff from Indiana, stand up. And then John from Huntsville, go ahead and stand up. And then, you know, it's going to go down the line. We're going to have all these callers that are regulars, that people hear their voices all the time. I think that'd be a hoot, man.
That would be pretty fun, actually.
It would be fun. And then, you know,
grill some burgers or something.
That's right.
Bring some pickled eggs.
Get some pickled eggs. We'll give away a jar of pickled eggs. Oh, my gosh. Pickled eggs. That's not supposed to be a thing, really.
I don't think so either.
Eggs weren't designed to be pickled.
No.
No. And I look at it and think that's one of those where God goes, well, that was creative. All right. Listen, you guys have an amazing weekend. You're the reason why we do what we do. We'll be back on Monday. See you then.